This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. If you're just joining us, thanks for taking us along on the ride on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Cody Stutzen for Barry Laminack. It's Nick Sciarra and yours truly, Joel Blank, as we get into hour number two, as we spend a little time breaking down some buckets in the big game over at the Big Sequoia tonight as the Warriors invade Toyota Center, getting three and a half points to take on your favorite basketball team. It's the Red Kool-Aid drinking Clutch City Foundation and Clutch fans and Red Rowdian Houston Rockets giving 3.5 to the Warriors tonight in a big one. With that being said, Lonnie, you want to get in here. So you've got two things on your mind. Let's stick to basketball first, then we'll get to your football. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Nothing, man. Same old, another day in the works. It worked right now. Catching a little break, listening to y'all on the radio.
Appreciate it, brother. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about?
First off, shout out to 10 Planet Jiu-Jitsu, New Caney, Texas. Got to send a shout out always to my gym. But, man, just want to talk about the Rockets. Like, are they ever going to come out of this funk this year? I know they've won a couple games, but was Melo a cancer, or is it something else internal, or what you guys think?
Look, Lonnie, we've covered this in the last couple days. The biggest thing to me is the fact that Melo's going to be the scapegoat. It ain't all about Melo. I mean, this is a lot about a lot of square pegs trying to fit into round holes. You lost a couple of guys that had a certain skill set, whether you think they should have brought them back or not. And losing Ariza and Bamute, you replaced them with guys that didn't have the same skill set. They didn't defend the same way. They don't shoot the three ball the same way. And because of it and the Melo situation, you lost your defensive coordinator. Now you're getting him back, but you're not getting him back till after Thanksgiving. There's a reason why Daryl Morey was pursuing Jimmy Butler and kept upping the ante. Because as much as he wanted you to believe that they were running it back, that the marketing department wanted you to believe they were running it back, they didn't have the same squad. And what he saw on paper he already knew wasn't good enough to run it back. So he's trying to improve the squad. Butler's in Philly now. So just because Melo leaves, it ain't fixed. It's a process. It's a step. But now, instead of trying to get another superstar-type player that you can add to the mix to put you over the top, now it's going to be more focused on the role players that can play the right way, the Mike D'Antoni way, to try and get back on top. And that means, and I've thrown out a few names for you, but you kick the tires on a Kyle Korver, a Jeff Green, playoff-proven guys that have the same skill sets, shoot the three well, can defend in certain cases. Some guys do their skill set better than others. Korver is just a sniper, so he would help immensely. Jeff Green can play both ends of the floor. He can run, he can finish, and he can shoot threes. Those are the kind of guys they should be looking at. So with this much time before the trade deadline, Daryl can still right the ship, but it never will be about Melo and his fault alone. That's all I can say about that.
You covered it pretty well.
Okay, cool. Lonnie, we appreciate the call. All right, so we'll move on. If you guys want to continue Rockets-wise, you can always reach the show, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener 9. You can call or text that or hit us up on Twitter. And again, Fantasy Football with Sigmund Bloom. That's 2:30 this afternoon, as we always do on Thursdays. And you know the drill. If you're going to call right before 2:30 in that break, and we'll line you up. Stack them and rack them. And otherwise, you can text and tweet, and we are tagging those tweets. And as time permits, we will get in as many of those as we possibly can. There's a huge game on Thursday Night Football tonight, guys, too. So I just want to let you know, everybody thinks the game on Monday night's big. This game in Seattle tonight is monstrous. It is an end-all, be-all type game.
Some people think you're going to be or may perceive that as being facetious, but I legitimately believe that.
You think it's bigger than the Monday night game between the Rams and the Chiefs?
No. I don't mean it. I don't mean it that way. But I mean, this is actually like a
slow your sauce at chicken places, big fella.
this is actually a fairly large game when you look at the scope of things, because
this is a must win for both teams. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins still is in it in the NFC. Whoever loses basically should start planning for the draft.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close to accurate, because if Aaron Jones is going to play the way he played, UTEP's finest, Aaron Jones, is going to play that well at the running back position with Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers is moving around, moving good. The knee seems healthier than it's been in a long, long time. Like, that's a team I do not want to see on my schedule, and I damn sure don't want to see if I'm the 3 or 4 team and see them in the first weekend of Wild Card Weekend. I do not want to see that. At the same time, Seattle, I know they were disappointing this past weekend, but that's a decent football
They're
team.
They're in games against big-time teams. They were in the Rams game. They were in the Chargers game and had a chance to win. It's not like they're getting hammered every single week. Wait a minute. Hammered them! No, they're not getting hammered every week. And because of Russell Wilson, just like because of Aaron Rodgers, and Nick, to your point about getting a lot of dog games on Thursday night, at least for the common viewer that doesn't have a rooting interest either way, they should get a good football game tonight.
Look, I'm not, for me, Thursday night football is always, even when there's a good game scheduled on Thursday night football, it could turn out to be a bad game. And sometimes these bad games turn out to be good games. It's just the luck Thursday night football has had. And so I think we've had, what was the good Thursday night football this season? I forgot. It was like a couple weeks ago.
You need to do that right into a break so I have time to research.
I don't
even
remember.
But there was one or two Thursday night. Carolina-Pittsburgh was, to your point, Carolina-Pittsburgh was supposed to be a great Thursday night matchup.
That was supposed to be.
And the Steelers blew the doors off the Panthers.
Right.
Well, remember last year it was last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, when the Rams were playing the 49ers on Thursday Night Football and it turned into like a point fest and everyone was like, yeah, this is awesome. Nobody plays defense and they're scoring 50. And it's like, oh, okay, now pretty much every offense in the NFL does that and nobody plays defense.
Yeah.
And everybody's putting it up. Weird thing about tonight, if I told you that the Seattle Seahawks were the league leaders in rushing yards per game, would you believe me?
I would not.
I would not either.
They're the league leaders in rushing yards per game by 8 yards better than the Rams. 152.2 per game on the ground.
I don't really like their running back core. Who's their like back? I mean,
the rookie is Penny.
Rashad Penny.
Penny and Davis and Carson.
Yeah.
Are those guys. Fan. And it's like a roulette, you know, who's going to be the hot hand this week. And they get it done somehow. And then, of course, Russ brings a little bit of mobility. What a weird, like, I would never think that about Seattle. Who's their left tackle? Seems like they're, you know, running the ball pretty well now that they kind of solidify that offensive line.
What can Brown do for you, Cody? What can Brown do for you?
That's what it is.
All right. And from a Green Bay perspective, because, you know, I have a tendency to follow them, it is – Barry kidded me the other day. Can they run the table? They might have to or come close to it. And they're going to be in every game remaining on their schedule, I believe, the toughest game at Minnesota and at Chicago. But overall, this is the last year of the era of Aaron Rodgers with the team currently constructed the way it is, and it could be the last year if they don't make the playoffs. Packers haven't missed the playoffs 2 years in a row since, I think, the Brett Favre era. So you better win or Mike McCarthy's going to be looking for work. But they are basically going to knock it down and rebuild it around Aaron Rodgers after this season with the new general manager wanting to make a statement. So this is do or die for the Packers.
Man, that tie is so huge for them.
And they had that game won. It was taken from them from the horse bleep call on Clay Matthews when the game was over. That allowed it to go to overtime. But you're right. That tie, I dread it. Everybody goes, oh, it's 50% win, 50% loss, so it helps. No, it really doesn't. It hurts.
I mean, it ultimately it's going to hurt in the case for that sixth spot. Mm-hmm. But on the off chance that they have to end up in a tiebreaker situation, it's better than having that loss there.
It is, but if the NFC was really cut and dried this year, aside from the top two teams, aside from the Rams and the Saints, you would go, okay, I get it. You got to win your division to get in, and it's not going to be that big of a deal. But because there's so many teams within earshot, because the NFC East sucks so bad,
yep,
because the Falcons aren't who we thought they were going to be, because of all these teams that are still hanging around, that tie is probably going to hurt you more than it helps you, yep, unfortunately for the Packers and the Seahawks, because the Seahawks are in one hell of a tough division. So just because, quite frankly, they're not going to catch the Rams.
Yeah, I ain't sorry for them because they were stacking dubs in that division when it wasn't that great.
Let me just let you know that you ain't the only one, because after the freaking fumble that wasn't on with the replacement refs and the damn NFC Championship game when a damn tight end wanted to be a hero and we didn't go to the Super Bowl, believe me, I hate the Seahawks. The only thing that keeps me from absolutely despising them, one, Russell Wilson played at Wisconsin, and two, my brother-in-law is a diehard Seahawks fan, so I'll stay somewhat open to it, but not this week, no. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Roger, we see you. We'll turn the page even more, but stay on the football topic and get to the Texans this week as they take on DJ Swearinger and the first place in that bad NFC East Washington Redskins with the best game manager in football in Alex Smith, quite possibly. He wants to talk some Texans after the break. Roger, hang in there. We'll get to you next. And if you want to join Roger, line him up. 713-780-3776, HR and P Lister line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on Twitter. And don't forget, Sigmund Bloom, fantasy football expert at 230. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go! Hour number two of the show is knee-deep and upon us as we're talking a little football, talking a little Rockets before that. Talked a little bit of special sauce that Cody enjoys that he gets screwed out of, and it catches his ire, so to speak. Cody talked about Trey being absolutely snot buster scared of Nick, and now we're going to talk some Texans as
nice.
Your favorite football team has won six in a row as they take on the first place in the NFC East, Washington Redskins. We've already had a little fodder for the week as DJ Swearinger has given out props and love to Gary Kubiak and Vance Joseph and guys that have helped him along the way, and then basically said that Billy O wasn't his biggest fan, told him he'd be out of the league within 3 years, and kind of like we had with the Bill O'Brien Case Keenum book coming out, Bill O'Brien told me I'd never be more than a third string quarterback comments. Billy O's pretty confident with a lot of statements that he's making. If you're my bookie, I wouldn't be betting on Bill O'Brien to be right based on those two.
There's so many things about the Swearinger thing that is just mind-numbingly annoying about it.
I agree.
But there's also something that's really weird about Keenum and Swearinger both saying that, because O'Brien would have to at some point, because when both of those moves were made, it wasn't Brian Gain making those moves.
No, it was Rick Smith.
It was Rick Smith. Mm-hmm. Rick Smith had full control over the roster. O'Brien right. decided who played and had input on how they built the roster, but it was Rick Smith that ultimately had full control over that. So for O'Brien to do that, O'Brien would have had to at some point gone out of his way, because he doesn't cut guys. Like, he may talk to them, but I can't imagine that when Rick Smith was here that O'Brien was the guy bringing him into the office saying, hey, you're gone. Now, he may have an exit meeting with these guys. So he would have had to have gone out of his way to tell that to Case Keenum and to tell that to DJ Swearinger.
Well, not necessarily, because if he's getting in the middle of the confrontation between Swearinger and his position coach or the special teams coach, where the one rumor says that he basically said second-round picks don't play special teams and walked out of a special teams meeting. Mm-hmm. At that point, the head coach has to step
sure,
in.
Sure.
And so if he steps in, there might be a conversation on the side where it maybe gets a little heated, and O'Brien says...
The problem is that neither player provided context for the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't imagine that Bill O'Brien said that to Case Keenum. Now, could I imagine that he said, on the Houston Texans while I'm the coach? Okay, yeah, I could believe he said that. Did O'Brien say, if you keep acting like this, you'll be out of the league in 3 years? Because that seems like a likely conversation
piece. I think that's
piece.
Very, very possible.
And by the way, go back and search your heart of hearts. Anybody who's siding with DJ Swearinger on this thing, go back and search your heart of hearts. Did you miss DJ Swearinger when he was gone? And go back and remember how he played.
Forget how he played. Go to the track record. And if you need a little help, go to sportsmap.com probably at about 5 o'clock tonight, because I just cut a video on it. Because, look, I'm happy that DJ Swearinger is still in the league for DJ Swearinger, but when the Texans drafted him in the second round and the way he performed both on and off the field when he was a Houston Texan, he deserved to be sent on his merry way. Because if you remember, he did things like his dog bit the number one pick in the entire NFL draft in Jadeveon Clowney. You can't do that.
I don't
want to take it further. He got some SUV all souped up with, if you want to believe it, it had a vanilla chocolate and strawberry milk machine. It had Batman logos and all these things. But he didn't want to pay for it. And then instead of trying to, when he didn't have the money, he said to pay for it, or he didn't agree with the bill, instead of trying to work something out, he went at night with the second set of keys and he took it.
Yep.
I mean, you can stack and rack, and that's the off the field. On the field, like I said, straight up, he walked out of a special teams meeting because he said second round picks don't play special teams.
He wasn't good here.
No.
He wasn't good.
He got better hits on guys after the whistle and for penalties than he did when he was playing the game. And all he was known was for a guy that was looking to headhunt instead of a guy that could play the position the way it's supposed to be played.
Bruce Arians moved on from him for a 32-year-old journeyman safety in Arizona. Like, did DJ Swearinger leave and get become a better NFL player? Yes, he absolutely did. Yep. But that wasn't going to happen here. Not the way he was.
He matured.
Not the way, exactly.
Okay. He matured, and good for him. But here's the thing. He still right now can't rest. Because guess what? If the Redskins were dead set that this dude was their guy, you don't trade for Clinton Dix of the Packers and think about re-signing him in the offseason.
Good point.
So there's you can see both sides of this one. And obviously, in the Case Keenum situation, as much as, look, I'm the first to bang on Billy O. I'm not his biggest fan. And obviously, his shortcomings have been well documented. But when you look at a guy like Case Keenum, again, Cody, you make a great point. In the context of with the Houston Texans, you're never going to be more than a third-string quarterback. I could see him saying that. And also, when you're a publisher and you're trying to sell books, you need a couple of those deep jabs that get people's interest and pique their, should I buy it or shouldn't I? Well, after reading that, I'm going to get it. Michelle Obama just did it with her new book, and she took shots at the president. He responded, which is exactly what they wanted. Books are flying off the shelf.
Yep. And can we back just up just a little bit on the DJ Swearinger dog thing? I don't want to toot my own horn, but I broke that story.
Did you fart?
No.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. I broke that story.
That's awesome.
The dog bite story.
How'd that happen?
Reporting?
No, how'd you find out about it?
Oh, I got the...
I
talked to sources and they told me about it. Okay. And then we got the police report from... Or like the... I don't know if it was like a police report, but there was like a... What's the part of the...
Incident report or
something? Yeah, it was an incident report with the part of the government that deals with animals. It's animal control. It was animal control report. Yeah. And I talked to the guy out in... Because it was out in... Pearland, because a lot of the Texans were living out in Pearland.
So you broke that story at a time when you were working for the flagship of the Houston Texans?
Correct. They were none too happy.
I was going to say, did they have issue with that?
I asked for a comment, and I did not receive one.
Was there comments made behind the scenes about you ever doing that again while you were on the flagship station?
Nope.
Not that you know of.
Not to me.
Well, but probably the guys.
This is with Clowney's dog, right?
Yeah, so Swearinger's dog bit Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah. Bit Clowney.
But he took responsibility. Here's some audio from Clowney from today.
It's my fault. Something happened. Don't nobody know. They went there. I was playing with his dog and it happened.
Oh, this is Clowney explaining what Swearinger's dog
was playing with his dog and it happened.
Yep.
Now, let's also keep in mind those two were teammates at South Carolina as well, and they've been friends for a long time. Because one of the other knocks on him while he was with the Texans was he was corrupting a lot of guys while in the locker room, on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
By not acting professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've heard it gets a lot worse than what's been reported.
Okay.
With that situation.
I want someone to, you know what? We need to find out for sure because it's been a rumor for a long time that one of the things, and some of my guys that I know that do custom cars and things, were adamant that one of the things he wanted to have in his SUV that made, the bill was like $22,000 in upgrades on an SUV.
Right, right.
But one of them was that he put in a milk machine in the vehicle where you could get your choice of regular milk, chocolate milk, or strawberry.
Money well spent.
Wow. Okay. All right, so with that being said, Nicholas, we've had a call that's been on hold, so let's do the justice to Roger, who has been patient with us. Roger, you want to get in here. What's up?
How's it going, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, to break off on your story about Swearinger, he also skipped out on their bill, too, for that custom car, what I heard on the radio anyway a while back.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, but that guy with the Texans couldn't cover a $2 check, man. That dude was weak, man. Yeah, no love lost there. I mean, but I was talking about the Texas and this weekend, barring any no more injuries to top flight players, do you think if we beat Washington, how many more of a quality team, playoff team, how many more losses do you think the Texans will take? I don't think many more if they can pull that off. It'll be 7-3. I think at worst 10-6.
We'll take a look at it, Roger. We appreciate the call, man. Look, from the standpoint of Cody, you and Nick should probably answer that. But when you look at it, I had said this was a game that could go either way. I said the Denver game was as well. This was before the season started. I said the Cowboys game was one of those games. As you look at it going forward, the biggest game on their schedule has to be Tennessee here. Because yes. Tennessee is, for as good as the Texans have played, they had to dig out of a hole that they dug for themselves to start with. So in their rearview mirror, objects closer than they appear, the Titans are only one game out. And they won the first game head-to-head. If they win the second one, there goes all your tiebreakers and all you got resting on being able to kind of coast through the rest of the season, not worrying about things. Now you have to start worrying about the division title if Tennessee beats you at home.
And you have to know this. It goes to head-to-head first for tiebreaker. And
divisional.
And then it goes to best record within the division.
Right.
The Titans undefeated within the division right now.
So that's a huge game right there all in itself. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hey, it's the midway point, so this is the time you're supposed to call if you want to talk to Sigmund Bloom about your fantasy football questions. We're getting close to playoff time. Nick, what you need going forward. You know you're chasing a championship in fantasy football, so you're fired up. You guys at home should be too, and in your cars. It's Nick. It's Sigmund Bloom next. It's Fantasy Football Talk. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's that time, people. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Thursday at 2:30. That means the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that you need to talk to if you're trying to set your fantasy football lineups week to week, trying to get in the playoffs and win the big prize. Sigmund Bloom joins us right now. I will encourage you people to do several things. Always tune in at Thursdays at 2:30. Also follow him on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. And, of course, if there is the remote chance that your question does not get answered during this show, you can also follow footballguys.com, where they have plenty of opportunities for you to get your lineup questions answered throughout the week. Without further ado, Sigmund, welcome back to the show. Always a pleasure to have you. And as we always do, first and foremost, things to look for and what's on your mind heading into a busy week in the NFL.
Probably the biggest situation this week is the Baltimore quarterback situation, which looks like it might be Robert Griffin III right now. Joe Flacco could be a game-time decision. Lamar Jackson had a stomach issue, and there's even talk that if Lamar Jackson were to get the start, they might split the time between Jackson and Robert Griffin III. I do think it's going to help Alex Collins in any event, and it might help John Brown in any event. Going up against the Cincinnati defense that just gave the reins back over to head coach Marvin Lewis, who was at one point in time known as a defensive genius. So that's a big one. Chris Godwin's a little banged up. We may see Adam Humphries have a little more value. Marvin Jones hasn't practiced yet this week, which could make Theo Riddick a really interesting running back as more of a full-time slot receiver. Even though there's some talk that A.J. Green will return this week, I would not expect that.
Cool. All right. Without further ado, let's start knocking out some questions. First one that came in, pick three, Dalvin Cook, Jalen Richard, Alex Collins, Mark Ingram, who's out?
Jalen Richard. And look, Richard's going to give you maybe 10 to 15 points in a PPR league, but that's it. And you're still counting on garbage time. All those others have higher ceilings.
Pick two, Hilton, Robert Woods, Emmanuel Sanders, Devontae Adams.
You can't put Devontae Adams on the bench tonight. You really see that Aaron Rodgers is locked in on him. And then I would probably go with Robert Woods as the second one, just because we expect Monday night's game to be the highest scoring game of the week.
Pick two, Patrick Lindsay, Sterling Shepard, Ito Smith.
Lindsay and Shepard. I'm not, I don't trust that Atlanta running game now. Dallas's defense has been pretty strong, and we saw Ito Smith really fade last week.
Tyler Boyd or Doug Baldwin?
I'll go with Boyd just because Seattle's only throwing the ball 20 or 25 times a game.
Okay, let's get some calls in here, and we'll go back and forth. Miles, you've been waiting. You want to talk to Sigmund. What's up, Miles? Hey, Miles, we got to go quick. Let's go. Nick, gone. Jeremy, what's up?
Jeremy,
let's go.
Yeah. I got two leagues, Luck or Travinsky or Ryan or Travinsky.
Ooh, definitely Matt Ryan at home against Dallas. Luck versus Trubisky is, I'll go with Luck. I think Luck is the safer play. Trubisky has a higher ceiling, but I have Luck. There's my number 7 and 8 quarterbacks this week. I give a slight edge to Luck.
Cody, you're up next. What's up?
Yeah, two-parter, PPR, Tyler Lockett, or Sterling Shepard. And then the other one, Jordan Howard. Peyton Barber, Giovanni Bernard, or Chris Thompson. Pick one.
Okay. I'll go with actually Peyton Barber, believe it or not. The Giants, I believe, have given up a touchdown to your running back at least one in every single game. And I'll go with Tyler Lockett over Sterling Shepard just because he'll get a better matchup tonight. He's been doing a good job scoring. And even though Shepard has a decent matchup, I think it's going to be a lot of Beckham and Barkley. So Lockett and Barber.
All right. PPR, Smallwood or Ito Smith?
Oh, man, is there none of the above choice? I guess Rendell Smallwood, because he's been getting a little more involved in the passing game, and in a PPR league, that's going to give you a little bit more bump, and it could be a high-scoring game down in New Orleans. I wouldn't really expect much from either one.
Joe Mixon or Dalvin Cook?
Cook should be involved a lot more as a receiver. Mixon popped up on the injury report. Baltimore's at home. Their defense usually plays a lot better at home.
Evan Ingram or O.J. Howard?
I'll go with O.J. Howard. It's a good matchup for tight ends against the Giants. Evan Ingram has only been getting a little bit at the end of games, usually not been a mainstay in that offense.
Most likely to score a touchdown, Funchess or Baldwin?
Funchess, just because it's Detroit's secondary. And I don't know if Darius Slay is going to play this week or not, but everything worked against them last week and against Seattle. Has Baldwin even scored a touchdown yet this year?
Well, let's hope it doesn't start tonight, Sigmund. That's from a Packer fan. Evan Ingram or Adam Humphries?
Oh, I'll say right now with
none of the above
Chris Godwin. Yeah, I'll say Adam Humphries right now. The variable here is Chris Godwin. If Godwin doesn't play, it's easy to say Humphries. If Godwin plays, then I might give a slight edge to Evan Ingram.
Fitzmagic or Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan, again, because he's at home. He's been great at home. I would say, you know, with Fitzpatrick, now we're in that zone where if he has a rough game, he could always get benched at some point.
Defense question, Ravens or Arizona?
Oh, that's a good – I mean, they're both good choices. I would probably give a slight edge to Arizona just because their defense is really coming on. They actually gave Patrick Mahomes all he could handle last week, and they get to face Oakland this week.
Mariota, Fitzpatrick, or Trubisky?
I give a slight edge to Trubisky here because he's got the running ability, because he's got all of his weapons on board. It is a tough matchup against Minnesota. Actually, Mariota might be the safest one, but I think he has the lowest ceiling. Fitzpatrick's number between. I would go Trubisky, but this is a tough call, and I wouldn't talk anybody out of any of the three.
All right, Miles is back. Miles, let's go.
All right, two quick questions. Would you ride with Cortland Sutton or Golden Tate for the rest of the year, and then George Kittle or Greg Olsen for the rest of the year?
Yeah, give me Greg Kittle. He's doing some Greg Kittle. Give me George Kittle. He's doing some amazing things. And Cortland Sutton, I just don't know when Golden Tate is going to get worked into that Philly offense enough to trust him.
Zach, you're up. What's up?
Tariq Cohen or Lamar Miller?
I would go with Lamar Miller in a non-PPR league just because they've been more devoted to the run there, and Tariq Cohen in a PPR league as he's been more involved in the passing game.
Nick does not like that as he has just traded for Tariq Cohen. He's very high on him, Sigmund. I want to let you know. Josh, what's up?
Hey, Sigmund. Andrew Luck or Fitzmagic?
Yeah, I'll go with Andrew Luck. He's super safe, and it's a good matchup against Tennessee. Fitzpatrick may have a little higher ceiling, but there's a low floor now.
Chris, you're next. Chris, go.
Yes, sir. Aaron Jones or Marlon Mack this week?
Aaron Jones. I'm not going away from Aaron Jones until he lets me down.
Me either. Phillip, you're on the nine next for Sigmund Bloom. What do you got?
Fitzpatrick or Matt Ryan?
I'll go with Matt Ryan at home over Fitzpatrick on the road.
All right, Sigmund, Calvin Ridley or Valdez-Scantling?
Give me Marcus Valdez-Scantling. He should get one of the better matchups tonight. And with Calvin Ridley, there's so many involved in the Atlanta offense now. There's a lot of ups and downs there.
Flex PPR, Allen Robinson or Kerryon Johnson?
Ooh. In a PPR league, you know, I saw Allen Robinson of old last week, and that makes me excited to put him in my lineup. Kerryon Johnson's battling an ankle issue. You know, if he gets in a full practice, he's not on the practice report, injury report, I might lean to Kerryon Johnson by the time the game rolls around, but right now I'm saying Allen Robinson.
Jalen Richard or Mike Davis?
Probably Richard, just because Chris Carson's starting and off the injury report, so he should get most of the work tonight against Green Bay.
Adam Humphries or John Ross?
Again, right now, with Chris Godwin having practiced yet, I'd say Adam Humphries. If Godwin practices tomorrow and Humphries is back in his role from the past few weeks, then it'd be John Ross.
Deshaun Watson or Mitch Trubisky?
I give the edge to Trubisky just because Houston has been pretty devoted to a balanced offense. I don't think Kiki Cutie's going to play, and he helps open things up. I think that it's going to be a low-scoring game in Washington. I'm giving the edge to Trubisky.
Tarik Cohen, Dalvin Cook, or Deion Lewis PPR flex position?
Dalvin Cook. I would expect Dalvin Cook to get at least 5 or 6 catches in this game. And he's going to be back to being the lead back we thought we were going to get when we drafted him, like in the top 15 back in August.
All right, we're running short on time. Couple calls real quick. Dave, what's up? Quickly.
Got Sammy Watkins, John Brown, Marvin Jones. Who do I sit out of the three?
Marvin Jones. Yeah, you got to sit Marvin Jones even if he plays out of that trio because he's banged up.
Josh, go real quickly, please.
Chris Carson or Corey Davis in the flex?
I would say Corey Davis is the guy here now as the number one. He's got a good matchup this week against Indianapolis.
Nice. All right, that'll about do it. We appreciate everybody participating. If you didn't get in, Raymundo, then you need to make sure that you follow everything that Sigmund Bloom has going for him, which includes the website and his Twitter account. Sigmund, why don't you tell the people how they reach you?
Yeah, Twitter at Sigmund Bloom, but I do a message board thread at footballguys.com. Every Sunday morning, I answer questions up until game time. Of course, if you're a subscriber, you can get all my rankings, and I do 9 podcasts a week, too, so a lot of my insights in there.
There you go, my friend. Have a great weekend. We always appreciate you being a part of the show. That's Sigmund Bloom. You should follow him, and you should follow him on a regular basis if you play fantasy football, because he gives you great information. And again, as we always say, that dude's memory and his quick twitch fibers must be on, like, turbocharge, because some of these people don't even enunciate clearly. And, like, some of the callers are like, I go quick, and they go, and then they throw out, and he goes, and that would be that. Let's go. I mean, he just, boom, see ya. All right, we'll go. Hey, speaking of that, we got to go get to a break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue with a whole lot more of the usual suspects, and we appreciate you taking us along for the ride. It's right here on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still second hour of the show, so you're not too late. You're right on time. It's The Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Nick, myself, and Cody Stutz in for Barry, as Barry is in El Paso, Texas, doing a little comedy. I do want to remind you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. As you know, Gallery is the place for any furniture for any room in your house. And right now they've got specials going on because they know the holidays are right around the corner. You're going to have people at the house, and you don't want the couch with the holes in it and the rugs that have stains on it and all the different things that you want to have fixed up and cleaned up in your house, taken care of. Well, you can do that by getting new furniture at Gallery Furniture. And right now, Mattress Mack's going to have it at the every store of the three stores open late. That's right, till 10 o'clock each night, 7 days a week, whether you go to Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria, or the I-45 North location. Right now, you buy $4,000 or more worth of gallery furniture, and you get 40% of that back in free accessories. How do you beat that? It's like getting all the rooms completely accessorized, as well as all the furniture for each of those rooms in your house. And they're also doing an Astros Rockets double down promotion where you buy $3,000 in mattresses at Gallery Furniture. And if the Astros win it all next year or the Rockets win it all this year, you get those mattresses free. Go to galleryfurniture.com for details. Like I said, just in time for Thanksgiving, they have solid wood, American-made furniture from great brands like Stickley and Tempur-Pedic and Stearns & Foster, leather and upholstered furniture. It's the only place I buy my furniture. It's the only place you should do, because everything they say is everything they're going to do. That means you buy today, you get it tonight. No backorder slips. And, of course, the most important thing, Gallery really will save you money.
Passing out turkeys today with Alex Bregman.
That's right. Bregman and Mac got together, and you had to register, but they were, for the holidays, looking out for folks that way, too. And that's another reason why everybody just loves Mac, is because they all know he sells furniture, and some people didn't. But one thing they do know is if there's one guy that's going to step up big when the city's facing some tough times, if that dude ran for mayor,
land
slam dunk.
Slide.
You know what he'd do to anybody in his way?
Hammer him! That is...
Without question, without question, he would hammer him. Can you imagine him like him trying to solve like the city's problems? If you can't find what you're looking for between the firefighters and the police department, head on down to I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, both ways. And no back order slips. You come in, I'll figure out a solution. If not, you get out of my store after you buy some furniture. We'll work it out later. You know why? Gallery saved you money. That's what he does it.
Today.
There you go. Because today's a big thing. You didn't like that one, Nick, as much as
no
the Texas Hammer?
I like the Texas Hammer a lot.
Okay.
The Texas Hammer is probably one of your best impressions, right, outside of intern Trey.
I appreciate it. I'll notate that accordingly. Okay, so we've got some football out of the way. We've got some basketball out of the way. But plenty more that's going on. We did mention, too, that the Lakers won again last night. Not without... an injury to report, as Rajon Rondo, in a very weird, he was kind of falling down and put his hand on the floor. Next thing you know, he's holding his hand. Next thing you know, he's got a fracture. Next thing you know, he needs surgery. He's going to be out a couple months. So
they have a fat guy injury?
That's crazy, right?
Fell down, broke his hand? That's a fat guy move.
Yeah. I looked at the replay and went, he got hurt on that play? Weird. So he was out. LeBron passes Wilt Chamberlain with 39 points for fifth all-time on the NBA list. They said if he keeps going at the pace he's going by January, he will be passing Michael Jordan. But he's still 7,000 points behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So he's going to have to play about three or four more solid years without getting hurt to get to the point where he will be the greatest scorer in the history of the game. Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, way above everybody else.
Even Kobe, 33 for Kobe, and then Malone 36, and then Kareem 38. Think about how good he's been, how much he's scored, and he's still that far away from Kareem. Of course, Kareem played forever.
But Kobe probably could have shattered that if he played two or three more years, right? Like at a prime level.
Here's the thing.
It only taken him 70,000 more shots.
I'm a lifetime Laker hater. Okay. And I've never been a fan of Kobe Bryant for a lot of the stuff, right, in terms of just because he's with the Lakers. But when you look at it, the thing that bothers me more than anything else is when you're talking about the greatest of all time in our era that we've seen.
He's starting to get left out more and more now.
He's getting left out a lot. Yeah. And when you talk about the guy that had the killer instinct, that could take over a game, that had a lot of Michael's characteristics, that had five championship rings, that did so many things, I think he deserves to be in more of those conversations than he's in, simply because people forget because they want to make it a two-horse race. Thanks for playing, Cody. All right.
I'm over here doing math to figure out exactly when LeBron's going to pass him.
Because it's that important.
Well, I thought it'd be a fun little fact, but I guess not. I'll put my calculator down, and we can move on.
So
five of the top six have been Lakers, by the way, since you hate the Lakers so much.
Five of the six what?
Five of the top six scorers of all time played for the Lakers at one point.
Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant. That's three. And then LeBron now.
And then
that's
Wilt.
Four and Wilt.
Carmelo okay. doesn't count. What did he play, 10 games with the Lakers?
No. He was in that very dysfunctional, him and Gary Payton tried chasing a ring late in their career. And that was the one. You talk about a team more dysfunctional than any team that we had talked about in terms of Shaq and Kobe Lakers. That was a bad team. They were fighting all the time. You had said somebody else earlier in the show in terms of NBA teams where it was
Shaq and Kobe.
That was as dysfunctional as anything. They said they used to sit outside the locker room after wins or even in the finals when they were playing the Pistons. They said outside that locker room before and after games, it sounded like everyone was fighting everyone at all times.
Gotta love ego,
and that
man.
Had a lot of talent. That roster had a lot of talent on it. There's no doubt about it. When you look at Peyton and Malone joining the likes of Fisher and Kobe and Shaq and Ori and all that team, that was crazy. And let's just clear something up right now, because the other fun fact is Patrick Mahomes puts ketchup on macaroni and cheese. Now, that has been a topic in which people have been erroneously slandering me, saying I do too. That is false. I do not put ketchup on macaroni and cheese. No.
You sure?
I put ketchup on grilled cheese. And there's a rule. No.
That's not good either.
And there's a rule. If my mom was having a tough day and she burnt the grilled cheese or she got it a little crispy, in our family, you ain't throwing that out. You're eating it anyway. That's tough on you. To make it taste better, if it's overcooked, I will put ketchup on a grilled cheese. I'm a ketchupaholic. I love it.
It's not that far off from like a tomato soup that you typically dip grilled cheese in.
And that's the other. Tyler.
That's way far off. You don't,
grilled cheese,
you don't put
Scott.
Ketchup on it. That's illegal.
Oh, stop it. There's nothing wrong with
it's
it.
It's not like he's like.
It's like the same thing, only watery.
You can't be defending ketchup on a grilled cheese. You can't do that,
it's
Cody.
It's not like he's like putting it on and like smearing a knife on. He's just doing a little dip. Don't you dip your burgers in the.
That's a burger. Ketchup on burger.
The
that makes sense.
The only thing that's different between a burger and grilled cheese is the beef.
You dump your burger in tomato soup?
Absolutely not.
Then shut the hell up.
No, that doesn't make sense, though.
No, it does make sense. You can put ketchup on a grilled cheese. It's a condiment. Tomato soup is soup.
I think most people would side with me. Never put ketchup on grilled cheese.
We got an hour to go. We're going to find out. We got time, brother. All right, we got Sports Mappers joining us next. It's the Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.